Good morning.
Morning. Morning, Sensei.
I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day, but not just to the Sangha, but to mothers around the world. My talk today is going to be about great faith. So there's three essential elements of our practice. It's great faith, great doubt, and great courage. So anyway, today's talk is on great faith and the three essentials. Great faith, great doubt, and great courage. And I'll be speaking about the other two in the next couple of weeks. When I started to write about great faith, or actually finished my talk about great faith, I don't know, some reason the question came to me, why did I choose this talk on Mother's Day? And it sort of came to me based on an experience which I think I've shared before that I've had in terms of mother. So these notes are sort of, you know, they're sort of free form. So one of the things that I just want to describe is, you know, the what happens to a child, and very, very briefly, when that child is abandoned, what are the damaging effects of that experience? And I think one of the key things that happens when you're separated like that is that whether it becomes conscious through your life or not, that you wind up with a lack of faith in yourself. The child doesn't realize the inherent lovability that they are, that they deserve. And the child is disconnected from his or her self-worth. And this lack of faith affects that child's ability to make connections with other beings. And they feel isolated and alone. And in some cases, these truths go unrealized for a lifetime. And that person never has faith in themselves, never is in touch with their own inherent dignity and lovability. So that's one piece of what was going through my mind, just this thought about that and the effects of that experience. And I think the reason why I started thinking about that was because it's a Mother's Day. And when I was a year old, my mother left me with my grandmother, and I never saw her again. But thankfully, my grandmother became my mother and took care of me in a very nurturing, kind, and loving way. And being with her allowed me to experience what a loving connection feels like. And I think that over time, it helped me to have faith in myself that I wouldn't have had without her care. And without this faith that arose through this relationship that I had with her, without this faith in myself, I don't think that I would have had the courage to enter or stay with Zen practice. And just as an aside, it also showed me that mothers come in very different forms. So great faith. As I said, there are three essentials for the practice of Zen. Great faith, great doubt, and great courage. And so this morning I'm going to speak about the first one, great faith. Now there's a Chinese poet whose poetry you've heard many times from me, Han Shan. And as you know, he was a legendary mountain hermit, and he was said to have lived between 618 and 907. Is that saying it the right way? I know it's 19, is it? How would you say that?
618 to 907.
Okay. I could leave out the 100, okay. Okay, so leaving out the 100, he lived between 618 and 907. And he wrote this brief poem, which to me is very, very touching. After a late spring rain, the falling petals swirl weightlessly. Celestial scent covers my patched robe. My simple, vacant mind has no place to go. And resting on the peak, I watch the clouds return. And that last line is just, heartbreaking in the positive sense. Resting on the peak, I watch the clouds return. So the question is, who has attained the mind that has no place to go? Many of us at some point in our practice think that it's not even possible for us. So Zen Master Seng Stan shared the following words. The great way is not difficult if you don't make distinctions. Throw away likes and dislikes, and everything will be perfectly clear. Now, Zen Stan's words are true enough, but most of us, most Zen students, would argue that Zen practice is pretty difficult. And for many of us who entered away, there becomes a point where we begin to feel hopeless that we'll ever find our way home. So what do? We sit every day. We sit with a group. We go to retreats. We meet face to face with a teacher, and yet nothing seems to be happening. We might look at others who seemed more advanced, have a deeper understanding than we do. So we get angry, jealous, discouraged. Why not me? We are ready to give up. So it's important in these moments to keep faith in ourselves and the practice. I don't believe that it's an accident that we are sitting here together this morning. It's not an accident that we have taken the same path. And my sense is that we're all responding to a deep voice within ourselves that is calling to us. Now, from a scientific point of view, a scientist might say, well, this is driven by our DNA. A priest might call it the voice of God. Someone else may have no words, but feels it deeply within themselves. Whatever the source, we must listen and have faith in this voice, because it will sustain us no matter what difficulties present themselves. Now, I've read this poem before. This is a poem by Mary Oliver, and it's a wonderful poem, and it's called Turtle. And it's a beautiful expression, I think, of this voice that I'm talking about. And she refers to it as an old blind wish. The turtle breaks from the blue black skin of water, dragging her shell with its mossy scutes across the shallows and through the rushes and over the mud flaps to the uprise, to the yellow sand to dig with her ungainly feet a nest, and hunker there, spewing her white eggs down into the darkness. And you think of her patience, her fortitude, her determination to complete what she was born to do. And then you realize a greater thing. She doesn't consider what she was born to do. She's only filled with an old blind wish. It isn't even hers, but came to her in the rain or the soft wind, which is a gate through which her life keeps walking. She can't see herself apart from the rest of the world, or the world from what she must do every spring, crawling up the high hill, luminous under the sand that has packed against her skin. She doesn't dream, she knows. She knows she is a part of the pond she lives in. The tall trees are her children. The birds that swim above her are tied to her by an unbreakable string. So I think that we are filled with an old blind wish, and it's because of that wish that we're sitting here today. So there are zendos and temples throughout the world where there are Buddha statues, And the statues come in many forms. There are stone Buddhas, bronze Buddhas, wooden Buddhas. And one of the reasons, I think, that these Buddhas are there is to remind us that we are all Buddhas. And also, if we look around, we will see that there are also flesh and blood Buddhas, which are everywhere we look. We must trust that old blind wish within us. And we need to have faith that we are also a living Buddha.